I'm continuing the interview with Wheezy Hannigan. Tell me about your great-grandparents, who they were, and their children.
My great-grandparents, or well, just my grandparents?
Your grandparents.
My grandparents. That was Alexander Hollybread.
No, I want to go back the other generation to William
Beardsley and Mariah Coffin.
Rudd. All right. It's William Beardsley Rudd and Mariah Coffin Rudd.
Holly.
Well.
Okay, Mariah Coffin Holly. And that's how the Hollies and the Rudds
connected. And they had four children.
Four children.
Who were?
Alexander Holly Rudd, Fanny, Malcolm Day Rudd, and Charles Edward Rudd.
All right. And Alexander Hamilton Holly would have been your grandfather?
Alexander
Holly Rudd.
Alexander Holly Rudd was my grandfather.
And he married whom?
Theoline Banker Oliver.
Where did he live?
In Lakeville. He was born in Lakeville.
And specifically, was he Upper Farm?
Not then. Not when he was born. He inherited the Upper Farm on Belgo Road. But they lived at Hollywood, because they were all born at Hollywood.
Okay.
And I don't know whether he lived there up until the time he met my grandmother. I suppose so. I believe they met at the Perkins Boarding House.
And specifically, where is the Perkins Boarding House?
That was towards Salisbury from Lincoln City Road.
It now has a green metal roof.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
But it used to have a porch.
Yes.
And that's where everybody sat in their rockers. And they had this wonderful stone wall, and most of it's gone now. Mm-hmm. And they had wonderful bushes that we called snowball bushes, because they had these little round balls on them. You could squish them. And that was great fun. And that's where, well, it was my grandmother and her sister, Min, who would be there, and Aunt Louise. They all came up from Brooklyn. That's where my grandmother was from Brooklyn. And they all came up in the summertime and stayed at the Perkins Boarding House. And my Aunt Min had two children. She married Charles Lester, and she had two children, Helen and Charles E. I don't know what the E stood for. And my father, who was called Ted, and Helen, and he was called Chick, Lester, they all played together.
Ah, okay.
And they played with Liz Oz, who was Liz Perkins. She was the daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Perkins. And they remained friends forever.
Now, the house that Liz Haas used to live in, that's now passed around.
Yes.
That house was there in the same time frame as Mrs. Perkins' boarding
Absolutely.
House?
Absolutely.
Who lived in that house?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And behind that house were several other small houses. It was called The Patch.
Yes.
And when my Aunt Helen, after, I don't know why, but she was older and Aunt Min was very old. They moved up to Lakeville from Montclair. And Aunt Helen lived in The Patch. And, of course, Liz Haas lived in the red house that they built because they didn't want to stay at the Perkins house. She and her husband built a house separate from the boarding house and from the Iron Master's motel.
Where was that red house? Is it still existing?
Yes. It's
between the boarding house, in back of the boarding house?
Going in back up? Of the boarding house to the left, whereas the motel was to the right.
Then that would be where Hope and John Moncho live now.
Oh, okay. All right.
Got that one sorted.
Okay.
Now, what did Alexander Holyrood do?
He worked for the Pennsylvania Railroad, and he ended up chief signal engineer.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And he and Theoline had two children.
Yes.
William
Beardsley Rudd.
And Theodore
Oliver Rudd.
Now, was it your grandfather that was called the mayor of Bogo Road?
Yes.
And he...
Because they built their house on Bogo Road in 1938. And in the good weather, he and my grandmother would sit on the front porch. He in his wicker rocking chair, she in just a little plain armchair. And he would read the paper, and sometimes he would read it to her while she was sewing. And he would smoke. When a car would go by, he would just simply lift his arm and wave. And he really never knew who was going by, but he just waved. So he got to be known as the mayor of Bogo.
And was this property called Upper Farm?
Yes.
Okay. And that's 69 Bogo Road, I believe.
Yes.
Now. Okay. Now, tell me about your father.
Theodore.
What did he do?
He started out working for the railroad, but that was only for a couple of years. And then he went to work for the Keyright Company in New York. They were at 30 Church Street, New York. And the Keyright Company was wire and insulated cable. And it was a very specialized, they were, upscale type insulated cable. And he was a salesman. And then, he was with him all the rest of his life. And he ended vice president and then president and chairman of the board.
Now tell me a little bit about your mother's side of the family.
Yes.
Who were her parents? Who were Emily Hayward's parents?
Okay, and this is a wonderful moniker. Her mother was Claude Claude Brownrigg Dawson. And her father was Charles Eccleston Hayward Jr., I think.
All right.
And they were both born in Maryland. My grandmother in Easton, and my grandfather in Cambridge, on the Eastern Shore. And I'm not sure how they met, but they were married in 1900. And they had three children, my mother, Emily Eccleston Hayward, and then Charles Eccleston Hayward, and then William Groom Hayward.
G-R-O-O-M?
Yes, with an E.
With an E.
Yep.
Always stick an E on just in case. All right. Now, your parents were Emily Hayward Rudd and Theodore Ted Oliver Rudd.
Correct.
And they had two children.
Yes.
Anne, known as Nancy.
Yes.
And Louise, known as Wheezy.
Correct.
Now.
Yes.
You married David Hannigan.
Yes.
When?
1953.
And you have two sons.
Correct.
And they are?
David Worthington Hannigan Jr. and Garrett Banker Hannigan.
With a C.
Correct.
All right. Now, we got that sorted. I would like you to tell me the story about the Wizard of Oz.
Oh. Well, when I was young, down on Ethan Allen Street, where Meatza's Pizza is now, was the Stewart Movie Theater. And I, 1939, and I was 9 years old, and we went to see The Wizard of Oz. Now, I'm not sure how long after we were married, Dave says, well, I was up visiting the Goddards, and we went to see The Wizard of Oz at the Stewart Theater, and we figured we could have seen it at the very same time.
And isn't that wonderful?
That would have been, yes, serendipity.
Absolutely.
Right. And it was Madeline Garrity who sold tickets at the Stewart Theater. And she also worked at Barnett's.
Yes.
Five and Dime, which wasn't really a five and dime.
It was more of a department variety.
It was a wonderful store. With the old wooden floors, mm-hmm. and the smell in there was just wonderful. I loved it. Loved it.
Were you ever around at Christmas time for the Barnett's Christmas Toyland display?
No.
Oh, you missed a treat.
No.
You missed a treat. Who was Mr. Wiley?
He ran the A&P. Or as my first brother-in-law would say, the A and Pooh feed store.
Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company.
I know, but he was, I remember what he looked like. He was tall, partly bald, he wore glasses, always had on a white apron. Very kind. Used to like to go in there.
Oh, sure. If people are kind, you want to go back. That's important. That's important.
And the other thing I remember talking about kind people, actually he wasn't as kind, but old Doc Leverty at the drugstore, he was gruff. At least that's what I remember as a child, that he was gruff. But I can remember when my grandparents rented the Harrison House, which was opposite the Dean Meadow. And
now, I'm going to stop you because I don't know where the Harrison House is.
Okay. You know where the Dean Meadow is, next to Hollywood.
Is that what that's called?
That's the Dean Meadow. And I don't know how it got its name.
All right, and the Harrison House is...
Well,
there's Hollywood... Are we going?
It's across the street.
It's going across the street.
Yes. And there's the Thelma Apartments, if that's what they still are.
That's the big gray house on the hill, the corner of Belgo. No, I'm in the wrong spot.
No.
I'm in the wrong spot.
No. This is Emily Miles. If you're coming from Lakeville, on the right-hand side, Emily Miles' house was there.
That's the
and
white
the
one.
Big...
Oh, where Wanda Landowska was.
Yes, exactly. Then came the Thelma Apartments. And then Mrs. Harrison Gray lived in that house. And it had a big porch on the front. I mean, it's much more handsome now. But they took off, because they took off the front porch. But we used to love the front porch.
Is it a large white house
with
green shutters?
Yes.
And you can cut through their driveway to get... past to get into Wanda Landowska's house.
Yes, okay, yes. I've forgotten it's what that's called.
Okay, and that was Harrison's house.
That was, Mrs. Harrison Gray, that's all I remember. But it was called the Harrison House.
I've had reference to it.
And next door, of course, then coming even towards Belgo, is Harrison Street, and I'm sure it was named, that's why it was named. And the little house where Mr. Silvernail lived, with Maudie, his daughter, and Mr. Silvernail kept his horse in Mrs. Harrison Gray's barn.
Miles Cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
The Thelma Apartments. Which was a stucco building. No?
Miles Cottage. Denise Restu wanted Landowska House, which is up on the hill.
Yes,
yes. Was called Twin Oaks, I think. Then the stucco house, and that would be the Sheila Apartments.
Well, the Sheila... Well, I call them the Thelma Apartments.
You're right.
Thelma Apartments. And the Williams family lived behind the Thelma Apartments.
And then there was the
Harrison House.
Okay. Which is next to Harrison Street now.
Correct.
Okay. Yep. Now, you bring up another point. Your husband has a connection to the Goddards.
Yes.
Okay.
The Goddards and the Hannigans were very close friends in Cheshire, Connecticut. That was Alan and Karis Goddard.
Alan and?
Karis, C-H-A-R-I-S.
And, no E.
No, no E. And Alan was the son of the Reverend Calvin Goddard from the Congo Church.
And Dr. Goddard's, Reverend Goddard's name was Calvin.
Okay.
Because the references I have is just Reverend Goddard.
Oh, no,
and
it was,
didn't know what the front name was.
He was Reverend Calvin Goddard.
Okay.
And he's the one of the summers, it would be when my grandparents were renting the Harrison House. And I was a baby in a baby carriage. And Dr. Goddard would come to visit, and there's a story that one time Libby, the maid, came running out and snatched me out of the baby carriage because she didn't want that man with the beard kissing her little baby. And he did. He had a goatee.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Oh, okay.
That was a wonderful house.
It looks like it would have been a lovely house.
And the porch on the front was, we were always out there.
And it would overlook the lake. You could see the lake from,
yes,
because it was high enough.
Yeah.
Okay. And that overlooks Dean Meadow.
Correct.
I'm learning.
And we would go down to the lake through Hollywood.
Aha! And who lived in Hollywood at that time?
Was Charles Edward Rudd and Emma Sands Reese Rudd.
Charles Rudd and Emma?
Yeah. Reese, R-E-E-S.
No E.
No.
Okay. And how many children did they have?
Just one, John.
John.
Yep. John Crom.
C-R...
K-R-O-M.
K-R-O.
M. No E.
That sounds Norwegian.
K-R-O-N.
Kroner. Crom. Okay. And whom did John marry?
Virginia Birchfield. From Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Did they have children?
One. John Holly Rudd. Known as Jay.
Because I remember John speaking of his son, and I think he lived out in Michigan.
Yep.
This goes back years. Okay.
In Holt, Michigan, he lives.
When when you went to the lake through Hollywood, was you cross the road and would you go through Dean Meadow to get?
Or? No, there was a west driveway that was treacherous. And then the east driveway. Mm-hmm. And the west driveway was used for quite a while. They had to build up the earth to make the driveway. And that came out, well, almost right in front of the Harrison House.
Is it still there, and then it floods on either side?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's how we would walk down.
Was it beach sand or shingle or just rocks and dirt?
Just rocks and dirt.
Okay. Now, was that where Hop Rudd had his camp?
Almost. Hop Rudd had his camp next to the town grove. So, where we would go, that was one little section, and then between that section and the grove was where Hop had his,
the
swimming part of his camp.
There was the grove, and then there was Hop, and then there was you.
Yes. Then there was Hollywood's.
That was
Hollywood's section, or whatever.
Okay.
And there was just a small dock. Very small.
Tell me about the swinging bridge.
I think I only went across it once with Nancy, and I think I made it swing to scare her.
That sounds reasonable.
Because I guess that's the kind of...
That's what kids
little
do.
Little sister I was.
That's anyway, what kids do.
I'm sure that that's the way that the guests at the Gateway Inn...
It was.
...got to the Grove.
Yes. And
wasn't it Mrs. White's boarding house?
Was that the Gateway? That's...
No.
No, okay.
No, this was across the street from the Gateway.
The Gateway was on the same side as...
The Holly Williams house.
All right. And so Mrs. White's would have been across the street from the Gateway.
Mm-hmm. I think it was that then. Maybe it was just a private home, but... I don't know what it is today. And then you had the Holly Block.
I remember the Holly Block. Mm-hmm.
Leverty's on the corner.
Yeah.
And Borden's Dry Goods Store.
Mm-hmm. Was that Borden of the Borden Creamery milk?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, but it was Borden's store.
Yes. And Nancy and I, once in a while, would go down there and help them fill orders.
Ooh.
Oh, we loved it.
Sure you did.
I don't know whether they did, but...
Well, they wouldn't have asked you to come back or wouldn't permit you to come back if they hadn't, right. You know, because you can defeat a child if you want to, mm-hmm. And they didn't want to. And you also were going to tell me something about Kent Fulton and Hobnob Hill.
Yes, well, he was wonderful. He hired so many townspeople to build that golf course. Mm-hmm. And he built his own house in the middle of the golf course.
Now, where is that located?
That's, you go out the Undermountain Road. Do you know where Oogie Hoysrat lives?
No, but I know the hill that
yes,
goes
there's
up.
A big hill and with the driveway. And on, before you get to the driveway, there's a, you know, it's just all overgrown, but that was the first hole. And it was beautiful. Because the green was surrounded by trees. And it was lovely.
And when he died, it
disintegrated. Yeah, nobody took care of it. Yeah, nobody bought it.
Now, the story that I have read is that he built this because he wanted the local people to be able to play golf without an expensive greens fee.
I believe so.
And you could bring a guest, and often he would waive the fee.
Very generous man.
Sounds it.
Yep.
Sounds it.
Also, there's a story about, well, because in the Holly Block, there was also the telephone company upstairs.
Oh, yes.
And that's when everybody had either two or three numbers as their phone. Hollywood was 91, and the Upper Farm was 242. Those the only... Oh, and my Aunt Helen was something ring, too. Because that was a party line.
Oh, yes.
But there was a... My father tells of calling Kent Fulton, and the operator said, "Oh, Mr. Fulton just went into the barber shop." And so I don't know if he reached him there, but anyway, that's when it was a small town.
Oh, yes. When we moved out to Great Barrington from the eastern part of the state, they still had operators where you could ask for such and such a number.
Oh, wow.
It didn't last very long, but it was, you know, number please.
Yes.
And when I worked at college, I was a telephone operator.
Ah.
Which I enjoyed very much.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when?
Except when the president wanted to put through a call.
Oh, I can remember, when Nancy and I would go into New York to visit our father's office, we sometimes would get, they'd let us fool around with a switchboard. I don't know what they did. They must have disconnected everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was great fun.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
And I can remember in Montclair, I'm not sure how old I was, and I had an imaginary friend, Miss Mary. And Miss Mary, I wanted to call her on the telephone. And so the operator, of course, says, "Number, please." And I said, "I would like my Miss Mary, please." And something, I don't know what the operator, I said, "Well, she lives just around the corner." And the operator, God bless her, she rang and rang, and she said, "There doesn't seem to be any answer."
That's a wonderful.
Wasn't that sweet?
That is wonderful.
And so I, you know, and I just said, "Thank you." Hung up.
People are so kind and so good. So many of them.
Yes.
And unexpectedly. Unexpectedly. That's a wonderful, wonderful story. Are there some other memories or things that you'd like to add to this interview?
Well, you mean just historical things or just hysterical?
Well, either historical or hysterical.
Well, I can remember going to Leverty's. This was with my grandparents' maid, Libby, who weighed over 300 pounds. They took her to the railroad station to weigh her because in the doctor's office, the scale didn't go up that high. But she would walk us down. She walked us down to Leverty's, and we got ice cream cones.
Ooh!
And in those days, you got sprinkles. Chocolate sprinkles.
Yeah.
They would just simply turn the cone upside down in the sprinkles.
Yeah.
And we come out, and there was a big sidewalk in front of all the stores. And I remember my ice cream fell out of the cone.
Oh, no.
And Libby just reached down, picked it up, and put it back in the cone. And I was happy and finished eating it. And I didn't get any disease or...
We all have to eat our peck of dirt.
Yes. That was great. And when we would come up, I guess during the war, and we would stay at the upper farm with my grandparents. Mother and Daddy slept in the guest room, and there would be one cot in there for one of us. And the other one of us would have to sleep in, and you see what I'm getting to, would have to sleep in the room with my grandmother, because she had twin beds in her room. And we would always flip a coin
to see who had to sleep with grandmother.
Because in the middle of night sometime, my grandmother would have some kind of a dream, and she'd go, whoa, oh, and we didn't like that.
No.
And the other thing was, my grandfather slept in the next room, and he snored so loud you'd think there was a bear in there.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandmother, whom we called Mammy, we called them Mammy and Papa, and Mammy always thought that we flipped a coin because we wanted to sleep in the room with her.
Oh, you were clever. Oh, you were clever.
Anyway, so that nobody ever told her that, anyway.
Marvelous.
So.
That's absolutely marvelous. What wonderful memories you have.
Yes. Oh, and I have a hysterical one about my grandfather.
Well, let's hear it.
He smoked 3 packs of Chesterfields a day as he was sitting on the front porch waving at the cars going by. He sat by the side of the porch, and the ground was covered with cigarette ashes and cigarette butts. Anyway, he was a character. But at night, when he would go up to bed, he would go up at 9 o'clock to listen to Gabriel Eder. And on the stairs would be a tumbler, and it would be half gin and half milk. And he would take that upstairs to his bedroom and shut the door. He didn't open the windows. And he would smoke. He would listen to Gabriel Heater. He would write in his diary and do his correspondence. And then he'd listen to the 11 o'clock news. And then he went to bed. Now, after he died, and they were cleaning the room and so forth, when they would take the pictures off the wall, the wallpaper underneath it was lighter.
Oh, yes.
Because the rest was nicotine stained. Mm-hmm. But he never opened the window, summer or winter. It's a wonder he lived as long as he did.
He may have fumigated himself with all of that smoke.
Isn't it unbelievable? Unbelievable. Oh, he was the devil, too. Because he always drank too much when he was young, pretty much. And so when he got older, he was only allowed 2 drinks. And didn't matter where we were, whether we were at the house, sometimes we were down at Hollywood, and his nose would almost light up, from 2 drinks. But then he would do silly things like... Well, he had false teeth, uppers and lowers, from the time he was in his early 30s. And he would say to Nancy and me, "Can you touch your tongue to your nose?" And we would try like crazy. And he could do it easily. And that's because he didn't have his uppers in. And we didn't know that for years. We just thought he was too clever.
Too clever for words. And of course he didn't share this small bit of... No!
No, no. Oh, he was funny. And he was a great raconteur. Apparently he was very much in demand at gatherings of the Pennsylvania Railroad when they would have conventions. He was in demand as a storyteller.
Oh, I can see that.
And...
The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah, my father inherited that wonderful gift.
And so did you.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, so did you.
Thank you. my father was a great, whenever there was a party or a gathering, he would almost always end up with his telling stories. And in our house, in Montclair, my sister and I shared a room at the top of the stairs. And of course, we could hear almost everything that went on. And sometimes we would sneak out and sit at the top of the stairs so we could hear a little bit more. But there would be almost silence because we really couldn't hear my father. And then there would be a great roar of laughter.
He told a story and that was the end of it.
Just the telling of the story. Mm-hmm. I mean, people could hear the same story over and over,
but it's the
way he told it.
It's timing. It's all in the timing.
It was wonderful. Yeah.
What wonderful childhood memories.
And the other thing they would do, the men at a party at our house, they would play golf. And they would put the bath mat in the bathtub upstairs. And they would chip out of the tub into the hallway, ricochet the ball against our bedroom door, and it would bounce down the stairs. And hopefully roll into the living room, which is where they put the little hole. And it was, so we would hear, you know, we would hear the ball on our door, and then down the stairs.
Oh, my word. Were the stairs carpeted?
No. No.
Makes the ball roll better. Oh, great.
Anyway, that was fun. We always had fun in Connecticut. We always had fun in Lakeville.
I can see why. Yeah. I can see why.
And we went, one summer, I guess, we went to Hop's camp. Just the swimming part. I mean, I guess back in the 30s, it was just a day camp. I have a feeling it was just a day camp.
I believe it was.
And then later on, it became a sleepaway camp.
Yeah.
And he had, Hop had this big old Marmon, like touring car. And two summers he had his camp up way up on Belgo Road. And the Marmon, he would bring the boys down to the lake in the Marmon. And this time my grandfather would have to look up because Hop would toot the old horn and they would go traveling by.
Oh my. When you say they had the camp up on the top of Belgo, it was way up at the top of the hill, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. It was a long, low building, it seemed to me.
Is it still there?
The building is, yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, when Hop and Joe moved to the lake, then they had the camp at the lake. Mm-hmm.
They didn't take children under 5, except when my husband came up to visit his brother-in-law, Henry Kiera. Henry Kiera persuaded Hop to take Foster's children, and Belinda and Stan were 3 and 4.
Oh, wow.
Because Henry didn't really want little children around when he was doing his sermon.
Okay.
So, I've asked Stanley what he remembers of Hop Rudd's camp, and he doesn't remember anything except riding in a car.
Okay, well, that was probably the old Marmon.
Yep. Wonderful. Thank you so very much. Oh. It's been a delightful experience. Oh. And such good stories.
Thank you. Well, I mean, I just, you know, I could keep going. If I think of anything else,
please,
I will call you.
I would be delighted to have you continue.
But I'd just call you and say, this is what I remember.
That's fine. That's fine. We've got the formal stuff done. Thank you.
Good. All right.